Testing. You're listening to WDCE FM 90.1 University of Richmond Radio and streaming online WDCE.org. This is DJ Strider and the beginning of the Strange Cucumber Show. And we're going to have some new things for you tonight, a few musical selections, some more audio play, and maybe even a few stories, so stay tuned.
Well, I'm riding down Fifth Street, I'm coming down Main. I'm tied up on my neck, I'm bored about cocaine. Cocaine, gonna kill my honey, dear. Oh, won't you tell it to me, tell it to me. Drink your corn liquor, let the cocaine be. Cocaine, gonna kill my honey, dear. Cocaine if it took my life. Cocaine, gonna kill my honey, dear. Oh, won't you tell it to me, you tell it to me. Drink your corn liquor, let the cocaine be. Cocaine, gonna kill my honey, dear. Kill me, but it can't say when. Cocaine, gonna kill my honey, dear. Oh, won't you tell it to me, tell it to me. Drink your corn liquor, let the cocaine be. Cocaine, gonna kill my honey, dear. Yes, it will, y'all. Cocaine, gonna kill my honey, dear. Oh, won't you tell it to me, tell it to me. Drink your corn liquor, let the cocaine be. Cocaine, gonna kill my honey, dear. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Oh, won't you tell it to me, you tell it to me. Drink your corn liquor, let the cocaine be. Cocaine, gonna kill my honey, dear. Let's do it one more time now, boy.
Cocaine, gonna kill my honey, dear.
That was a local group called Think, and I think if you look in local listings, you'll see them playing in town. Check them out. I'll be playing more of them a little bit later. And now for my show's theme song. I had to switch my recorder from recording directly to just recording from the speakers in the room because I needed the patch cord, so there's a little bit of a gap in the recording here. WDCE 90.1 FM, this is DJ Strider, and you're listening to The Strange Cucumber Show.
young actress.
You sure are a strange cucumber.
The following program contains music or materials that some listeners may find offensive. WDC apologizes and urges audience discretion.
Is she banging?
Yeah, sure she is.
That wasn't really part of the deal.
Okay, I'll throw in another couple billion, all right?
I like money.
Okay, her pod's up here on the right. She shouldn't be too far away, I hope.
Girl. Yeah? So what are you gonna do?
Before we start on the meditation, I would like first to explain you what meditation is, and then we will do a little exercise on concentration, because most people in the Western world are not taught how to concentrate their thoughts, and it may be rather difficult for them to start to meditate at once.
comes forest to the trees, and their single, You Create the Reason.
Tell me if you live it then.
Don't be scared.
All right. I'll tell you what. Look, listen to this.
Whenever life gets you down, Mrs. Brown, and things seem hard or tough, and people are stupid, obnoxious or daft, and you feel that you've had quite enough, just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving, revolving at 900 miles an hour. It's orbiting at 90 miles a second, so it's reckoned a sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day. In an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of the galaxy we call the Milky Way. Itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe.
The importance of facts, and when we talk to you about Chesterfield, we give you the facts. You heard the report George Fenneman read earlier. Nose, throat, and accessory organs not adversely affected by smoking Chesterfields. That's the first such report ever published about any cigarette. Remember that report and make Chesterfield your cigarette. Get them, regular or king size. Chesterfield, the best possible smoke, much milder.
Tonight, millions of people will go to sleep lying on something like this, and what's the result? Insomnia rampant and back pain in epic proportions.
Which is why we're here to tell you about a revolution in sleep called the Sleep Number Bed. At your command, it transforms on each side into the...
Tobacco has been one of man's basic pleasures for over 400 years. And the Chesterfields you smoke today are the best cigarettes ever made. Well, I say that.
The same man at the same time.
Now that we have the bed, we have one less thing to argue about. Because I got my soft bed, she's got her firm bed. It's clinical studies where 87% slept more soundly, and 93% experienced relief from back pain.
So it costs no more than ordinary beds.
Call now.
The Chesterfields you smoke today are the best cigarettes ever made. For the taste you want, the mildness you want, change to Chesterfield. They satisfy millions.
This is the age of knowing how to get things done. So, why would you let something like erectile dysfunction get in your way? Isn't it time you talk to your doctor about Viagra? 20 million men already have.
If that's the game you're missing because of a mean cold, here's something you should know.
Every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Millions more take Bromo Quinine.
Every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Bromo Quinine.
With every age comes responsibility. Ask your doctor if your heart is healthy enough for sex. Do not take Viagra if you take nitrates for chest pain, as it may cause an unsafe drop in blood pressure. Side effects may include headache, flushing, upset stomach, and abnormal vision. To avoid long-term injury, seek immediate medical help for an erection lasting more than 4 hours. Stop taking Viagra and call your doctor right away if you experience a sudden decrease or loss of vision or hearing. This is the age of taking action. Viagra. Talk to your doctor. See if America's most prescribed ED treatment is right for you.
The Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express is designed to be brilliant. It's the only charge card to earn triple points on airfare, double points on gas.
To think just what that means... Of course, it means many things. Our traditions of freedom, our democratic government, and our system of justice. But a fundamental part of the American way is our economic system. Our economic system is not perfect. That's a simple historical fact. But the American economic system has brought greater material means for happiness to more people than any other system the world has ever known. Especially in these critical times, all of us should work to defend and improve this system. And the best way to defend and improve our economic system is to learn how it works. You can get a free booklet explaining our economy by writing to Box 10, Times Square Station, New York City. Just write to Box 10, Times Square Station, New York City, and ask for your free copy of The Miracle of America. Now back to Tales of the Texas Rangers.
You're not standing out in the middle of the field. You're listening to The Strange Cucumber Show with WDCE 90.1 FM and streaming online, WDCE.org. This is DJ Strider, your host for the evening of unusual music and other sonic experiences brought to you by the Church of the Subgenius.
What the hell do you think you're doing? Dragging your butt through the day, selling body and soul to a bunch of bland normals? Acting stupid so they'll think you're one of them? Tired of getting all of the guilt, but none of the sex? There is a simple answer, dear friend. A glowing beacon of slack amidst the turmoil and darkness. It's J.R. Von Dobbs, the living slack master in his Church of the Subgenius. Bob brings a new destiny for the abnormal. For Bob comes to justify our sins, to unmask the conspiracy, and to get us back the slack they stole away. It's us versus them. Are you going to fry in hell on earth alongside the pink boys? Or will you pull the wool over your own eyes and accept Bob into your mind? Repent, quit your job, slack off, and praise Bob!
Church of the Subgenius, eternal salvation, or triple your money back.
Pardon the technical difficulties. We'll come back to that. And instead, we'll have a little sampling from Lord Buckley.
Now, you see, all you cats I know heard about Vasco da Gama, the island bumper. He's a cat that had a big, fat publicity agency. What do you mean to say, Vasco da Gama, bump island number one, boom, put in the book. Vasco da Gama, bump island number two, boom, put in the book. You see what I mean? He was with it all the way, publicity style. But there was a cat jumping around that time that had some bad press. It cut this pole cap to shreds. And his name was Cabenza de Gasca the Gasa. He was a warrior stud for Ferdinand I, and Ferdinand I was a balling king. He was a king that liked the ball up a breeze and put on many a double gala swinging-headed Mardi Gras. He liked the ball all the time. He's one of them kind of cats to say, give Princess Lager to another castle, will you, right away? He said, we ain't got no more castles, your majesty. He said, well, build them and don't stand there like an idiot. What's the matter with you? Consequently, the cat was short of change, you know, you see what I mean? And he said, I had to send over a little expedition to the New World, knock up a little bullion. And like I explained, Cabenza de Gasca de Gasa was a war instead of first lieutenant for Ferdinand, and he had a bad scam in front because he got on a three-ship lick, and they had a square captain that ran into a short tilt and blew the whole gig on the beach in Florida in 1410. And Florida in 1410 was Crocodile City. A cat couldn't stomp, flip, or step any way. Them crocodiles snap, snap here and snap, snap there, and them poor cats are ducking and dodging them crocodiles and trying to get straight, and every bug in the jungle is hitchhiking and ride on these bullcats, and the mosquitoes is dive bombing these bullcats, and it was a Cabenza de Gasca de Gasa and his buddy cat and a maw and a parrot. And the parrot had the best lick because he had that feather coat, you know, and the other poor studs didn't even have a Union Oil map. So they had to stomp on down the beach, and Cabenza de Gasca's buddy cat didn't move fast enough, and the crocodile snapped him out, and they had to tuck him in a hole and sweep some sand over his wig and swoop to sea, because they didn't know where they was going, but they know they had to go, because they know where they was, wasn't it? So Cabenza de Gasca de Gasa stomped all the way to North Dakota. That sure the cat didn't know where he was going in the first place. Then he turned around and stomped all the way to Mexico City. When he got down to Mexico City, he sat down, he wailed a note on 49 I to hip the cat that he's still gigging for him and where he'd been doing all this here time. Only took him 8 years, little Sunday afternoon groove. He said, your most royal swinging majesty, I've been on a lot of sad tours. I've been on a lot of mad, beat, bent up, down, grading excursions. I've been on a lot of tilted picnics and a lot of double unhung parties. He said, I suffered from pavement rash. I've been bent, twisted, spent, de-digged, flipped, trapped, and babat. But he said, I never was so drunk in my whole life like I was with this here last gig you put me on. He said, it was rough. It was good enough. Seemed like a benzer the gasket of gas in the Indian cat in the pad wailed up and all through this stomping, ducking them dive bombing mosquitoes and flipping and dapping from them crocodiles, snipping and snapping at them and the polecats in such a bad strain and binding, breathing in staccato to keep the pilot light lit. But they went stomping on through all the way and finally, boom, bumped into an Indian village. And the gas said, well, we got everything straightened out. We're going there and hit the chief and get a couple of buckets of them acorns and say, if we straighten ourselves out, we might not find out who he is, but we find out maybe where he is. You see what I mean? Not necessarily. But before he could take another sound out of his mouth, the chief came in the way along and said, nah, me know your big miracle head. Me hear you by Indian grapevine. You come many big him ship. He no sail water. He got white wings. He sail sky. Me know me hear you. You plenty hip head. You got a miracle way. Good thing you come. Me got buddy cat. Him have little difficulty. 17 crocodile. Little bit hung up. Little bent. You straighten him. You put a magic lick on this boy. Put him on feet. Me give you a couple bucks acorn. Maybe 2 or 3 squaw. Okay? You ain't even handed the cat in the biscuit up to now. And there's the poor gas weaving and wailing and bed and spent. And he was up against a rough mind. He knew he had to do something. He knew he had to wail some way. He knew that he had to go. He couldn't stop there. And this poor cat that posed the wail on his feet was in very fatigued condition indeed. He was right on the edge of the razor's flip, you see what I mean? He on the theme of the beam of the invisible edge. He was standing there getting his wings. Let me try that number 17 again. Well, yeah, I think this is a little tight for me. I like that 17-foot wingspread anyway much better. He was on his way out. Now, the gas, like I explained to you, if the chief had asked him to knock this cat off, he'd have made it, because that was a catch lick. He didn't know nothing about bringing him in. He was busy taking him out. But like I say, he was on the end of the bind, and he knew he had to blow, and he was condensed to the gas to the gasser. So the gasser fell down on one knee, and he held his head upward, and he said, Lord, this is Cabenza de Gasca, the gas a wailing to you, Lord. Said, ain't no use looking for me in the book, Lord, because you won't find my name there, Lord. I've been wailing in another part of the field, Lord. But I said, I'm in a terrible bind now. Said, oh, I know, Lord, that there's sound in you from all over the world. Help me here, help me there, help me this way, help me that way. But this is the first time I ever put a sound on you, Lord. And like I told you before, Lord, we're in a bad bind here. And you do me one little favor. There's a buddy friend, a friend of the chief, Lord. He's in sad condition. He had a terrible time of 17 crocodiles, Lord. And it's, I know it's a big job, Lord. You're going to have to do him from stem to stern, Lord. But if you straighten this man, Lord, if you put this man on his feet, though I've been wailing for Ferdinand to voice up to now, Lord, I'm going to hip you if you straighten this man for me. You got yourself a boy. Look out of the corner of his eye to see this cat he was wailing for. Get up and stomp away. Whew. Well, that gassed the gasser. It also gassed the Indians. They dug up the rest of the acorns and straightened the gasser with some scalp. And they knocked a few on the mall cat and flipped 3 or 4 on the pad. And everything was groovy. But it seemed like in 1410 it was bad times in the country. Never where the gasser and the pad and the mall swung forth to. All the villagers didn't have no scoff. They were scoffless. But they always had 2 or 3 cats there waiting for the gasser to wail on his feet. Even had one poor stud was under a rug for 4 days. They put the gasser down by his side and wailed him up. He wailed about 172 straight line miracles right across the countryside, what they've been trying to explain away even to this instant. And the gasser, in his note to Ferdinand I, said to him at the end of the note, Your Most Royal Swinging Highness, I found out on this bad lick that there is a great power.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted, and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Okay. All right, I think we figured out our little miscue. Now I'm going to recue sidestep complex.
Easy come, easy go, easy flow, Saturn. Easy come, easy.
is this competition?
Down in Utah, Alabama, in 1965, a young man about 21, no different than you or I, he's catching catfish and getting drunk. But Uncle Sam called, he called him up, send him out to Vietnam. That young man got his life turned upside down.
Short selection, Spirit of Rumi by Vision. And then before that, finally, the successful play of some excellent music from Sidestep Complex. Liz and Dan, and it's out of Connecticut, and you can actually Google them and listen to more of the music, and I'm going to be playing a little bit more later tonight. I believe they categorize it as kind of a hip-hop, but I thought it had a really unique sound, and something I really like, and it fits my show. I want to offer the unusual, the unique, the strange cucumber. You're listening to WDCE 90.1 FM, streaming online WDCE.org, University of Richmond Radio. This is DJ Strider, and you're listening to the Strange Cucumber Show.
I came back to this area in 1939-40. As a cadet at West Point. And that was a romance that was not destined to... and While I was at West Point, I got into a lot of trouble with the authorities there. Guess why? And I had spent almost all my time alone, and I realized right away that I was not going to become a bureaucratic, butt-covering general. I know the military mind very well, and I tell you, the American military is like the military of any country. Any country, they're going to get away with anything they can get away with. They're going to grab as much power as they can, and they're going to deceive and cheat. One thing I learned at West Point, you were trained right from the beginning that your basic enemy is not the communists or the Russians. Your basic enemy are the civilians in Washington. And you got to trick them, because if you don't, you lose your power. So that's common sense military tactics, which has been the plague of human society for much too long. While I was there, since I was not interested in surveying and military tactics, I spent most of my time in the library studying philosophy, and it was there that I ran into the first great teaching that has really been my compass navigational guide for the last 50 or so years. I read about a group of women and men in Athens, Greece, who got together, and they discovered among them that the aim of human life was to know thyself. Socrates was the one that was the major spokesperson for this totally subversive concept. And when I say subversive, think about it. Here, when there were Persian empires in Babylon and the entire world, the Roman Empire just gearing to take over. And here are these small group in Athens, Georgia, saying, think for thyself. Who the fuck are you to be a self? You're a slave. You're a serf. You're going to join the army. The concept of individuality did not exist then, except, of course, it did percolate over from India and so forth. But that burst on the scene. And when I was reading about Socrates, and the Oracle of Delphi, remember that? Yeah, I'm going to talk about that later this afternoon. But by the way, this is kind of a Sunday morning, ranting, raving sermon, however. This afternoon, I'm going to try some demonstrations of how to operate your brain and how to move from left brain to right brain. I think that's sometime this afternoon. I was studying Socrates, the Oracle of Delphi, and I was marveling at this concept that you could be an individual. Now, if you think for yourself, that means you don't let anyone else think for you. If you think for yourself, you can read books, you can listen, but you've got to do it yourself. You have to write your own book, navigate your own course. That's what Pat Monheim was talking about. That's what the basis of witchcraft is, the basis of humanism. It's the basis of our pagan tradition. You've got to fucking learn how to navigate your own life with the help of your friends. With the help of your friends. Now, Socrates did more than just give us a bumper sticker. Socrates... Socrates did something else. He showed us the basic method for learning how to navigate your mind and your body and your brain. The basic method was this. Socrates didn't get on a platform and lecture. Socrates did not carve out 10 commandments or 10 suggestions. And here we got the... You going to fly that? All right, good. Park your broom and sit down. We have valet parking for your broom. Your credit card works with us. Welcome. Socrates developed this method. He doesn't lecture. What you do is you get a group of people together who share the same incredible, ambitious goal of learning how to think for yourself. You do it in a very comfortable place. You're not sitting in Marine Corps chairs. They lay around in hammocks and cushions the way you're doing right now, and they were comfortable. And Socrates, as they didn't tell people, he would ask questions. Well, what is truth? Or what is beauty? Or how can we handle this? And you would answer. And then you'd say something. And then you'd disagree. And you'd agree. And suddenly, everybody's performing philosophy. And of course, that's what we all know is the name of the game. Philosophy is a performance sport. And it's a team sport. By the way, I just got a powerful emanation from this girl. Your name is Colleen? Thank you. Would you stand up? I just met this wonderful spirit today. He teaches at Kent State. Look at that face. Look at that face. Now that is what we're all about. Thank you. Just look at those eyes. I can feel it right from here. Thank you. The method was to sit around, lie around, performing. And suddenly, see, you can't read philosophy and think about it. It's got to be active. It's got to be laid out there. Quantum physics, it's interaction and field. And of course, Socrates and his friends taught us another lesson that there's like the logical left brain, and then there's the intuitive ambience, you know, totality of the right brain, elusive. And in order to activate your right brain, it's useful to have some sort of a botanical or a vegetable substance that can, turn it on. So it was part of the tradition, and the Socratic method is that you lie around, you sit around with close friends in a trustworthy situation, and you get stoned or high or intoxicated. And many of the time, they say they had to carry pearl Plato home. Now, I'm not advocating abuse of the vine. I'm simply pointing out facts of how the brain works. Yeah. Now, years later, I spent 4 years in the military. I want to tell you this. I've spent 5 years in the military. I've spent 4.5 years in prison, 2 or 3 in exile. I've been to 3 or 4 private schools where they had to...
That was Dr. Timothy Leary at the Starwood Festival when it was being held in New York, up near Lake Erie. And now for something completely different. The world of tomorrow. Sound does not seem to be working on that, so we will come back to that as well. Instead, we'll hear from...
Try to be a little more quiet in the court.
Certainly, Judgey, the gate is locked.
Will you please step forward? No, no, no. Prepare yourself for the witness box.
Take off your hat. Now raise your right hand. Now place your left hand here.
Take off your hat.
Raise your right hand. Now put your left hand here.
Please take off your hat.
Raise your right hand. Now put your left hand here.
Will you please take off your hat?
Raise your right hand. Now put your left hand here.
Take off your hat.
Raise your right hand. Will you get rid of that hat? Raise your right hand. Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear to tell us who told you that nothing but the truth?
Huh?
Do you solemnly swear to tell us who told you that nothing but the truth?
Are you trying to give me the devil talk?
Do you solemnly swear to tell us who told you that nothing but the truth?
Why don't you answer him?
He's talking pig Latin. I don't know what he's saying.
He's asking you if you swear...
No, but I know all the words.
He's asking you if you will swear to tell the truth.
Truth is stranger than fiction, Judgey Wudgey.
Kindly address this court as your honor and take the oath.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth or to tell the truth?
Certainly. What have I got to lose?
Take the stand.
Where do I put it?
No, no. Take the stand.
I got it. Now what will I do with it?
Sit down!
days. Were you in the Black Bottom Cafe on the night of February the 13th?
Certainly.
Did you at that time see the defendant, Miss Gail Tempest, in any way, shape, or form, commit or try to commit bodily harm to the deceased, Kurt Robin?
I object, Your Honor. Counsel's trying to lead the witness.
Objection sustained.
Mr. Howard, did you see Miss Gail Tempest in physical fight with Kurt Robin?
If it pleases the court, may I suggest that counsel be instructed to allow the witness to testify to what he saw.
I say, Jasper, what comes after 75?
76.
That's the spirit.
Request granted. Proceed with the testimony. Mr. Howard, kindly tell the court what you know about the murder of Kirk Robin.
Well, it was like this, Mr. Court.
Address the judge as Your Honor.
Well, it was like this, my honor.
Your Honor, not my honor.
Why? Don't you like him?
Allow the witness to proceed. The court understands him.
Thanks, Court. You're a pal. Well, me and my pals, we're musicians. We were tearing up some hot swing music in the orchestra. Gail over there was swinging the fans. Her sweetie, Kirk Robin, was inhaling a bottle of hooch at a table. And a hoofer by the name of Buck Wing was getting ready to shake his tootsies.
Kindly speak English and drop the vernacular.
Vernacular? That's a doybee.
Drop the vernacular.
You're listening to WDCE 90.1 FM and WDCE.org, streaming online, University of Richmond Radio. This is DJ Strider, and you're listening to The Strange Cucumber Show. That, for those who did not recognize it, was one of the classic scenes from The Three Stooges of Order or Disorder in the Court. Now I'm going to try to play another selection from Sidestep Complex. And you can also look them up on Facebook as well. Get some of their music from there.
Especially hope that all he finds here. how the administration frames the event.
That last musical number again was from Sidestep Complex, and a new album of theirs called Scatterbox. Look them up online or on Facebook and listen to more of their very interesting and thought-provoking music. Definitely no simplistic lyrics for those guys.
Welcome. to contemporary American history. I'm Professor Turgeson, and a lot of people think history is just facts. It's just information about the past, but not me. I mean, I hold history very sacred. Sacred. The way the farmer looks at the earth and he holds it sacred. The way a Christian takes the Bible and he holds it sacred. The way a lot of people hold their marriage sacred. That's how I feel about it. So why don't we dive right in by interpreting one of the easiest events in the last 20 years of American history. Now, can someone tell me why in 1975 we pulled our troops out of Vietnam?
The failure of Vietnamization to win popular support caused an ongoing erosion of confidence in the various American but illegal Saigon regimes.
Is she right? Because I know that's the popular version of what went on there, and a lot of people like to believe that. I wish I could, but I was there. I wasn't here in the classroom, hoping I was right, thinking about it. I was up on my knees in rice paddies with Johnson Edwards going up against Charlie. And I was bossing like you. We're back here partying, putting headbands on, doing drugs, listening to the goddamn Beatle albums.
Hey, Professor, take it easy, will you? I mean, these kids, they were in grade school at the time. And me, I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover.
Well, I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper. But since you want to help, maybe you can help me, okay? You remember that thing we had about 30 years ago called the Korean conflict? Yeah, where we failed to achieve victory. How come we didn't cross the 38th parallel and push those rice eaters back to the Great Wall of China and take the first brick and nuke them back into the fucking Stone Age River? How come? Tell me why. Say it. Say it.
All right. I'll say it. Because Truman was too much of a pussy wimp to let MacArthur go in there and blow out those commie bastards.
Good answer. Good answer. Like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Well, good teacher. He really seems to care.
I ain't seen a live man in 2 months.
I am Bear Claw Chris Lapp, blood kin to the grizzler that bit Jim Bridger's ass. You are molesting my hunt.
And I am Bear...
The Tappy Tibbins collection can be yours for just $39.95. Order now and you'll receive both The Month of Fury and Juice by You on video, CD, or cassette. Get the juice now. Call 1-900-976-JUICE. That's 1-900-976-JUICE. Dial the last E for excitement. Tappy Tibbins' Month of Fury will absolutely revolutionize your life in just 30 days or your money back. Tappy's Inspiration Series is not available in any store and is 100% money-back satisfaction guaranteed. Do not hesitate. This offer will not last. Call now, 1-900-976-JUICE. That's 1-900-976-5842. All major credit cards are accepted.
Three things is all I did to change my life. Three things. I want to give you the promise that little girl gave me.
Juice, juice, juice by you. Juice, juice, juice by you. Juice, juice.
we got a winner.
We got a winner. She's a beautiful woman with a winning sense of humor and a magical smile. She's really going to win your heart. Straight from Brighton Beach, Brooklyn. Please give a juicy welcome to our very own Mrs. Sarah Goldfarb.
Juice by Sarah. Juice by Sarah. Juice by Sarah. Oh, Sarah. Oh, Sarah. Oh, Sarah.
It's a pleasure to be here.
That's a pleasure to have you. And that is one smashing dress you have on.
Kathy, if you don't mind, I would just like to say hello to my husband, Seymour, and to my beautiful, successful son, Harry. I hope you're in love. Please come and see me and bring Marion, won't you?
I'm sure he'll be here soon. It's almost that time. Are you ready?
I'm ready, Teppy.
Not to worry. Not to worry. Month of beauty. That's all it is. 30 days.
What are you doing
to
there?
Revolutionize your life. Juice.
Why are you here?
Join us in creating excitement. Juice. Join us.
What do you want?
Energy.
Oh, Taffy.
Juice. Join us in creating excellent. Oh. I thought you'd never ask.
Oh, my God. Oh,
that's disgusting.
Well, what do you expect? Could you do any better?
Craig.
It's an old building. It hasn't been painted in years. I'm old. Alone. You don't understand. Please, I'll explain.
A couple of disturbing but hopefully enlightening clips from Requiem for a Dream. And that last one, kind of a sort of bizarre psycho carnival about celebrity worship and kind of our fetish of consumerism and the commodification of ourselves when we're processed by various institutions. So that our smiling face can be put on a cup holder or on a website, so that the institution can thereby gain even more money. And we become a little bit a part of that. It's nice to have your face out there,
But then sometimes it can become something less pleasant. Here are a few thoughts on celebrity worship from Dave Chappelle.
For real, why do you care so much what the Dixie Chicks say? It's not like they political scientists or nothing. They just bitches that can sing good. You know what I mean? Stop worshiping celebrities so much. Just don't listen, don't pay attention. I remember right around September 11th, Ja Rule was on MTV. That's what they said. We got Ja Rule on the phone. Let's see what Ja's thoughts are on this tragedy. Who gives a fuck what Ja Rule thinks at a time like this, nigga? This is ridiculous. I don't want to dance. I'm scared to death. I want some answers that Ja Rule might not have right now. You think when bad shit happens to me, I'll be in the crib like, oh my God, this is terrible. Could somebody please find Ja Rule, get hold of this motherfucker so I can make sense of all this. Where is Ja? Add me Ja Rule.
September 26th.
Structures that are based on authority and dominance will try to will just normally act without anybody even thinking about it to block such tendencies. Now, sometimes they think about it, like in the manuals of the public relations industry. They think about it very hard. But, you know, they're putting out billions of dollars a year to control the public mind. You better think about what you're doing. But most of the time, you don't think about it. You're just part of it. You know? Like, you don't think about the fact that when you go through school, you're being trained for obedience and passivity. But I think if you look back, you'll probably, at least if you're like my experience, will recognize that that happened. And when you watch television, let's say, you know, some sitcom, you don't think, well, I'm being exposed to the Mohawk Valley formula. But you are. I mean, that's the picture of life that's presented day after day after day on, you know, like people have personal problems or something like that, but nothing that would bring them together to work for some, you know, to struggle against the new spirit of the age. I mean, what's the last time you saw a sitcom about that? And in fact, what you get is this, you know, this stuff that flows out of the PR industry very consciously. You know, I mean, in that case, it's mostly conscious. Another aspect of it is demonizing labor. So a major element in the huge public relations propaganda after the Second World War, you know, was strictly demonizing labor. And the labor movement knew that. You know, there was a fairly substantial labor press even then, as late as the 1950s. There were still about 800 labor newspapers, which were reaching maybe 20 or 30 million people a week, you know, not commercial media, but pretty substantial. And they're interesting reading, too. They were trying to, as they put it, provide... This is just...
Thank you.
bother you, but my husband's out late. Committees. You know what us parsons are like.
You're a thought criminal.
They haven't been out much. But thank you, brother.
Attention! Your attention, please. A news flash has this moment arrived from the Malabar front. The forces of Oceania in South India have won a glorious victory. I am authorized to say that the war against Eurasia is within measurable distance of its end. 40,000 Eurasian soldiers have been killed or captured.
I'm the first person, you're the second person. Earlier today I was in the third person. I'm the first person, you're the second person. Earlier today I was in the third person. I'm the first person, you're the second person. Earlier today I was in the third person. Stop cursing, start diverting. Edifices, bliss, the sunshine, affect your mind. Expand your thoughts, stretch it out, don't doubt. My mouth, my brain is caught, I'm just blessed. Trip hopping, so I flow like a stream. It's just a dream.
Thank you.
truly awake, or if I'm still dreaming.
The following program contains music or materials that some listeners may find offensive. WDC apologizes and urges audience discretion.
And Bill showed a video, I don't know if you guys saw it when we were doing the stuff on Scientology, but Bill, after the service, Bill was showing a video, and it was hilarious, and the sad part, it was funny because it was very real, very money-made. They are the most litigious group, Scientologists, and I was just, somebody was talking today about, at a convention, he said, if you want to make $1 million, start with him. Rejected altogether, or sometimes considered a spiritual teacher. I love that. We're going to make him a spiritual teacher, but don't believe any of the things he said, right? Because he says that he's the only way to God. He says he and the Father are one. That's the only way
to God. Every Thursday at 3 o'clock, we have to have tea party. Sometimes I don't want to have tea parties, but we have to have tea party anyway.
As I said before, just look at it.
Dennis says. Benny, don't help.
want me to sit
you know
right
mean,
there
Mom.
And do
it? You know what I mean.
The girls like it, I think.
Okay.
The girls like it. They can. And it's fun once we get into it.
You don't like
the time. We have a few issues that we want to take care of. Then it's brought up at every tea party. And it seems like some of the girls just don't get it. It's the same exact answer, but when is it okay to approach a customer? Then why doesn't anybody do that?
People are slow.
What about we wait? We take a shower.
And then just come up and...
Oh, hi. Hello. I'm Lexi. How are you?
Do they do that?
Yes.
Well, but you need to break. You need to get it out and let Suzette know so she can deal with it.
It's not gonna. It's not gonna matter given who it is.
Who is it? I want to know who it is.
I'm not saying no.
I want to know.
She's gonna play anything up for you anyway, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's okay. It's okay.
If he's one of maybe Daddy's little favorites.
I don't say anything to anyone. No, I am the first one to mind my own business and not. And if I get dirty, I don't have to dirty hustle to get my money, Lexi.
Me. I'm gonna say whatever I need to say when Daddy's around to make my arguments sound good. And
you know, 20,000 each. Back to business. I learned which each little guy's
computer need help with one you already own. Call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up.
Randy Spears, when he's getting ready to pop, you have to
you
play
know,
with
sit
the
on the board of directors of the XXXChurch.com.
Can you imagine?
I start with a sick idea.
Like
the
how
triple
often does
X Church.
Normally, when you hear triple X Church, you think of something naughty and tingly going on, but it's not. This is a church that's there in Las Vegas. They're an internet site that bills itself as the largest online resource for people struggling with pornography addiction.
What's the matter with that cat there?
Must be full of reefers.
Full of reefers?
Yeah, man. You
mean that cat's high?
Sailing.
Sailing?
Lightly.
Get away from here. Man, is that the reefer, man?
That's the reefer, man.
I believe he's losing his mind.
I think he's lost his mind.
Talking to that reefer man.
Reefer man.
Have you ever met funny reefer man?
Reefer man.
Have you ever met funny reefer man?
Reefer man.
If he says he walks the ocean anytime he takes a notion, then you know you're talking to reefer man.
Talking to that reefer man.
asked the mind to rove and scan in a much more expansive domain of information than is normally the case. I mean, if you don't smoke cannabis, you may spend your evening balancing your check account. If you do smoke cannabis, you may spend your evening contemplating the causes of the Greek Renaissance.
It's a perceptual enhancer. It's like a child seeing something for the first time. There's a little bit of that excitement about the visual world. It enhances the appreciation of music and the graphic arts.
I have met many people who I think have experienced increase in imagination and creativity from experimenting with marijuana, who have discovered themselves as physical, sensual, sexual beings on marijuana, who otherwise had not developed that part of themselves.
They find that it's useful in gaining perspective and insight in their lives.
Marijuana creates a receptive, suggestible state which could facilitate certain kinds of therapy. It often increases people's access to their own unconscious, to the images that they have in their mind, to their dreams, to feelings which they other might not be aware of. So I think it could be in the right hands an aid to therapy.
Not everybody is capable of using cannabis in this way, but it can be used in this way by people who make an effort to learn to use it in this way.
Obviously, Western society fails to offer guidance on how to use marijuana beneficially.
I've seen many people who use marijuana addictively, many people who use it all the time and I think get very little effect out of it. I see people who smoke it and get groggy and doped out.
The real problem is that people do too much. They don't understand that the best way to do cannabis is approximately once a week.
The desire to have altered states of consciousness is basically healthy and normal. It can have bad expressions, and I think in our culture where there's no recognition of that desire and we don't teach young people how to satisfy it in healthy ways, it's obvious that we're going to see a lot of negative expressions of it.
More money has been spent trying to find something wrong with cannabis than any other vegetable material in human history. And what they've come up with is so pathetically thin that I am confident that it amounts to a clean bill of health for this stuff.
U.S. government health authorities estimate that there are about 350,000 deaths per year caused by tobacco and around 125,000 from alcohol. This does not include alcohol's involvement in 50% of all road fatalities and 65% of all murders. There are 14 to 27,000 deaths from legal medicines, and over 1,000 of these have been recorded as overdoses of aspirin. There are around 5,000 deaths from illegal drugs, while ailments related to caffeine kill up to 10,000 people per year. But there have been no deaths attributed to marijuana.
Cannabis is not a health problem. The problem is that it promotes social values and attitudes which are unwelcome in capitalist market-based society. It's just that simple. A drug like coffee, with a horrendous health profile compared to cannabis, is completely welcomed into the marketplace and the home and the lifestyle of modern people. This is simply that we value certain states of mind and we fear and suspect others. And this is based entirely on value systems that are inculcated from above.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Ellen.
One night I was at a bar. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel.
I got a cab.
A squirrel ran across the road. I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I hit a guy.
The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You know, man, it could be worse. A woman could cut off your penis while you're sleeping and toss it out the window of a moving car. There's always that.
I don't know, it's just when you buy furniture, you tell yourself, that's it, that's the last sofa I'm gonna need. Whatever else happens, I've got that sofa problem handled. I had it all. I had a stereo that was very decent, a wardrobe that was getting very respectable. I was close to being complete.
Shit, man, now it's all gone.
All gone.
All gone. Do you know what a duvet is?
Comforter.
It's a blanket. Just a blanket. Now, why do guys like you and I know what a duvet is? Is this essential to our survival in the hunter-gatherer sense of the word? No. What are we then?
Consumers.
Right. We are consumers. We are byproducts of a lifestyle obsession. Murder, crime, poverty, these things don't concern me. What concerns me are celebrity magazines, television with 500 channels, some guy's name on my underwear. Rogaine, Viagra, Olestra.
Martha Stewart.
Fuck Martha Stewart. Martha's polishing the brass on the Titanic. It's all going down, man. So fuck off with your sofa units and string green stripe patterns. I say never be complete. I say stop being perfect. I say let's evolve. Let the chips fall where they may. That's me. I could be wrong. Maybe it's a terrible tragedy.
Nah, it's just stuff. It's not tragedy.
Well, you did lose a lot of versatile solutions for modern living.
Fuck, you're right. No, it's me. Oh, my insurance is probably going to cover it, so. What?
The things you own end up owning you. Do what you like, man.
Oh, it's late.
Adieu, adieu. Parting is such sweet sorrow.
Oompa, loompa, doompa dee doo. I've got another puzzle for you. Oompa, loompa. If you are wise, you'll listen to me.
What do you get from a glut of TV?
A pain in the neck and an IQ of 3.
Why don't you try simply reading a book?
Or could you just not bear to look?
You'll get no commercials.
Oompa, loompa, doompa dee da. If you're not greedy, you will go far. You will live in happiness too. Like the Oompa, Oompa, Loompa, Oompa dee doo.
So much to do, so much to do. Invoices, bills, letters. I must answer that note from the Queen.
Mr. Wonka, what's going to happen to the other kids? Augustus, Veruca.
My dear boy, I promise you they'll be quite all right. When they leave here, they'll be completely restored to their normal, terrible old selves. But maybe they'll be a little bit wiser for the wear. Anyway, don't worry about them.
Hey,
Ain't life wonderful?
Compare the current downturn to the Great Depression.
We've made all these comparisons to Herbert Hoover. I mean, is it possible it can get that bad? I mean,
no. First of all,
you reach the point like they did in the Great Depression, where it was more expensive to make something you could sell it for. And guess
fear
what?
Itself.
You know, pre-op trophy bills are 0.02% interest.
This is about going to your automatic teller machine and having money still come out.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Fear itself.
Fear itself.
Fear itself.
Thank you for your listening. Close that with another selection from Think, a local band. And we'll see you next week this time. 11:01, Sunday night, DJ Strider and the Strange Cucumber Show. You've been listening to WDCE 90.1 FM, University of Richmond Radio, WDCE.org, streaming online. DJ Strider and the Strange Cucumber Show, signing off.